This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Kent Backus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. First off, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack.
One, creating more competition and capacity. Two, creating more price discovery to the extent that we can get more information on cash sales and more studies to do that. We're obviously interested in that so we have a better understanding of what the market is. And three, making sure that farmers get a fair shake and that they have the ability, if they're not being treated fairly, to basically raise issues, and that gets to the packers and stockyards. And finally, we also want to make sure that consumers get the right information in the grocery store. If there's a label on a ground beef, a pound of ground beef that says product of the U.S., we want to make sure that consumers understand precisely what that means. So we're in the process of doing a fairly extensive survey to find out if consumers understand what that means and whether they place value on it.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Kent Backus. Kent is Senior Director of International Trade and Market Access for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, or NCBA, in Washington, D.C. Kent, welcome back to the show.
Tony, it's always good to speak with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're in 2022, and it's okay to look back in the rearview mirror if we're looking at 2021 for multiple reasons, but one especially, and that is the success of exports in 2021. Is that worth celebrating?
You know, I think if there's something that we can really be excited about, was the fact that 2021 was such a good year for exports. I mean, when you look at the fact that we only have the data on our trade totals through November, but even through that, we've already blown past the 2020 numbers and the record-setting 2018 numbers. We're already at $9.6 billion just in the first 11 months of 2021. And we're planning, I think it's safe to say we're going to blow past that $10 billion threshold when the final numbers come in here at the end of January, beginning of February. But, you know, that attributes to $400 per head. When you're talking about just the total value that's due to exports alone, that's $400 per head. And that's something that is really good for all of our producers. When you look at the major, the markets that are really driving all of that growth, it's three major markets. It's Korea, Japan, and China. And, you know, right now, Korea and Japan are still vying for that number one spot. They're both just at about $2.17 billion in each market, which is amazing. And China is fast on their heels at $1.43 billion. We just got access into China, barely over a year ago. But in the short time, just in this past year, we've seen a 500% increase in sales into China alone. And so we're just exploding in these top three markets, and they're essentially in a bidding war over many of the same cuts. So that means that we're having really good sales in these markets. Mexico's seen a massive rebound. We're going to exceed $1 billion in sales into Mexico. Canada still fairly strong at $682 million. Taiwan is right on their heels at $600 million. So I mean, when you really see this shift to Asia, a lot of that's due to just the strong demand in those countries, but there are also other big factors. It's the result of tight global cattle and beef supplies. But if you decouple that with strong demand and good trade policies that remove tariffs and non-tariff barriers like BSE restrictions and hormone bans, then that just sets us up for success. And we need to build on that success. And, you know, I think that's what we're going to talk about over the next few months, is how we can build on that success.
Hey, Kent, when we talk about building that demand, demand just doesn't happen overnight. Somebody just doesn't wake up and say, wow, I'm going to the store and buying this, if they don't really know what it's about yet. So how much effort goes into actually creating that demand, whether it's at a country level or at a consumer level, in those export markets? And how important is it that we're out in front? Because again, you can run a commercial or two, but that doesn't immediately generate demand, does it?
No, and I think that, you know, the one thing we find, whether it's with American consumers or consumers in other countries, is that you have to have consumer trust and you have to build that confidence in your product. You do that by being direct and by educating them about your product, about the people that are raising these cattle, and about the safety and the quality of our product. And that takes time. It is a long-term investment. And when you look at Korea and Japan, those are two prime examples of where we were shut out. And in Korea, I mean, you had protest, massive protest on the importation of U.S. beef. We're talking 600,000 people in downtown Seoul at a candlelight vigil. It threatened to topple their government. And now we're the biggest import source in that market. But you look at China, you look at Mexico, and Taiwan. These are all countries where we really had to build that consumer trust. We do that through our partnerships with the U.S. Meat Export Federation, but also it really is about having those good trade policies that give us a chance to get our foot in the door and to engage directly with consumers, because unless we have that access, we're not going to be able to build that trust.
And if it takes time, then obviously we need to be working on some additional trade partnerships moving ahead. What's on your radar there?
Right. No, I mean, you're exactly right. You know, you always have to be looking to the future. I mean, we're going to ride the wave of this success for a while, but you know, there are so many other markets where we don't have access. For us, you know, the beef industry, I think we need to look at markets where, you know, we have a lot of similarities, or we have some other opportunities, and we have to be willing to engage in markets where people are going to tell us this is going to be tough. And so that's why we are looking at markets like the United Kingdom. You know, in Great Britain, with Brexit, they're no longer part of the European Union. So we see an opportunity there. You're talking about a culture that really appreciates beef. But you're also talking about, you know, a very sophisticated consumer class that's looking for high quality products. And, you know, unfortunately, they've lived under this EU mindset for 40 years. So a lot of the production technologies that we use, the way that we have raised our beef has been highly criticized with their media and you know, and with some of their politicians. But, you know, that's been the same for us in Korea, in Japan, and in other places. And yet we've been able to gain that trust. And it's by engaging directly. So we believe that, you know, we need to prioritize a trade agreement with the United Kingdom. There's so many similarities culturally, but also just with our consumers, that we think that we'll be able to build that trust once we gain access. Because right now, we essentially have very, very limited access into Britain. And so we need to engage. We need to have those bilateral trade discussions. We need to show that a lot of the things that they prioritize, like animal health and welfare, sustainability, those are things that we prioritize. You look at the similarities in their Red Tractor, you know, standards program, and our beef quality assurance program. They're almost identical. When you look at their sustainability goals and our sustainability goals, there's a lot of similarities. So I think we need to, you know, we need to engage, and we need to help them embrace a more science-based approach. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to have to earn the trust of those consumers, but we have to get our foot in the door, and we have to do that with a bilateral agreement. And there's a, you know, precursor to a bilateral agreement is we also need trade promotion authority restored. You know, without trade promotion authority, that really limits what our negotiators can do. And so we need Congress to restore trade promotion authority, to work with the administration to get that up and running, because we need our negotiators out there, you know, not just maintaining what we have, but we need to take new ground, and we need to get more access so that our producers can remain competitive.
Houston, one day closer. You know, I think that was an old Gatlin Brothers song, Houston, one day closer to you. And we mentioned that because it's the Cattle Industry Convention, NCBA trade show. Are you excited?
Absolutely. I mean, this is, I'm not going to say how many conventions I've been to, because there's been plenty of them. But, you know, anytime we, anytime we get to meet with our producers, it's good to meet in person. You know, I think we've all had about enough of the virtual meetings that we can stand, and just to be able to engage, you know, in person, and to be able to share ideas, to share thoughts, and just to see, just to see old friends, I think is going to be great. And we're also excited because, you know, joining us will be the British ambassador to the United States, you know, Dame Karen Pierce. She is the, you know, she's the first woman ambassador to the U.S. From Great Britain, and she is a well-respected, you know, she's well-respected in foreign policy ranks. She also has a bit of experience with our industry too, so she, you know, she gets kind of where we're coming from, and she's going to speak at our general session on Thursday. She's going to talk about the importance of the relationship between Great Britain and the United States. So, you know, we're excited about having her join us. You know, I'm excited from the staff level too, because, you know, in our International Trade Committee, this is a chance for us to kind of dive deeper into the weeds on some issues. So we're going to talk about some of the issues with congestion at our ports and the impact that's had on supply chains and on trade overall. So we're going to have a good discussion about that. But we're also going to meet with a representative from the British livestock sector and engage with him directly on, you know, talk about trade, talk about what it means to their producers, talk about their consumers and our consumers, and, you know, what our shared concerns, what our shared goals are, and really just to learn a little bit more about, you know, potential trade partners. So, I think, you know, we're very excited about Houston. We've got a great lineup, not only with our general sessions, with our entertainment, but also with our committee speakers. And so I'd encourage anyone who hasn't made plans yet, hop in the truck, come on down to Houston, enjoy being able to engage with other producers and not having to do it over a screen for once.
And if you'd like to find out more about what's going on with NCBA, where do we do that online?
NCBA.org. That's going to be the best way to be able to reach us. But then again, you know, we're going to be at the convention center. We'll be there Tuesday through Thursday. So come on down and enjoy a good time.
Again, it's Kent Backus. Kent is Senior Director of International Trade and Market Access with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association on today's Agribusiness Report.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Kent Backus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
As a farmer, there's a lot you can't control. Now there's one thing you can. Introducing the all-new Fendt Rogator 900 Series, the only rear boom sprayer with two height adjustable clearance to elevate your control in all seasons. Add Liquid Logic technology and 3-year Gold Star customer care, and you have a machine putting power at your fingertips. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show in Houston, February 1st through the 3rd.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Is there a quick fix for high fertilizer prices? Gary Crawford reports.
What can be done about the skyrocketing prices of fertilizers and other inputs?
There's no silver bullet. I wish there were, and if there were, we would certainly be on top of it.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack telling a House Ag Committee hearing this week that those prices we're seeing are the result of many different situations coming together.
Part of it has to do with global demand. Part of it has to do with decisions made by other countries to prevent resources from coming to the U.S.
But again, there's no immediate answer to that. But longer term, Vilsack says,
one thing we need to do is take a look at ways in which we can be less dependent on outside sources and resources for these materials so that we don't face export controls as we're facing today.
But meanwhile, for today, Vilsack said farmers this next season will have to perhaps reduce fertilizer use and do everything else they can to cope with those high input prices.
It's a challenge. There's no question about it.